not as fools, but as wise. How do fools walk? How do wise people walk? And the Bible says we must redeem the time. In other words, we have lost time. We have spent time milling around in the darkness. We have spent a lot of time listening to the world and the way the world does things. We have ordered our lifestyle by the world, and the world has lulled us to sleep. It says now we have to redeem the time. We have to make up for lost ground because the days are evil. Does anyone have to convince us today that we are living in evil days? The days are evil. And because the days are evil, it says, therefore, do not be unwise. Don't be foolish. Don't live as though you don't understand what's going on. Do not be unwise, or do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord today is to teach us how to walk in his wisdom.
Amen.
Do not be drunk with wine. When people are drunk, they stagger about. And wine here could mean literal wine and also the wine of the world's teachings and the world's philosophies. It can have you so drunk that you have no room for the Spirit of God in your life. So you operate by the spirit of man. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, or at least dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. We have to walk carefully. That's what the text says. Because the days are so evil, we have to walk now carefully. We cannot afford to walk like foolish people. But let's see who the Bible calls fools. You know, the Bible calls fools who the world calls wise. So we have to be careful here. Who the world calls wise, the Bible calls fools. And when we walk by the wisdom of the world, we are walking foolishly. And the God of this world, who is the devil, uses men and women from this world who have been educated in the system of the world, and they have all the titles and all the degrees that the world offers, to teach us how we should live. To teach us the right about health, to teach us the right about family, to teach us the right about how we should obtain our homes, to teach us the right about everything. And we listen to these people, and they appear to be knowing what they are talking about because they have graduated from the schools of wisdom of the world. And many of God's children are caught up, walking by the wisdom of the world. You know, people are willing to follow the doctor's instruction more than they follow the word of God instruction. And so, well, the doctor is wise. God gives him that wisdom to do what he's doing. Let me tell you something. Not every doctor has the wisdom of God. Sometimes the devil uses the doctor to put you in a place where God wants to get you out of. So we have to learn how to walk by the wisdom of God. And it starts with understanding who we really are in Christ. Understanding all that Christ has purchased for us through his life, through his affliction, and through his death. I cannot continue to allow my Adam to run the course of my life to determine how my day goes or how my night feels or the type of decisions I make about my life. If I do that, I'll be operating like a fool. And the devil will continue to fool me. Right now, if you operate by your Adam, the devil could prevent you from hearing what I'm saying to you. Because he got us into a place where he can fool us to operate like fools. So I make my decisions based on how I feel. So many Christians are walking by their feelings. I wake up in a bad mood this morning. So world, watch out. I wake up in a good mood this morning. So I'm laughing with the world. I go to work. And nobody better say anything to me today. But who are we talking about? Who is this me we are talking about? Who is this moody me? Is that the Christ in me or the Adam of me? It is time for us to learn to walk in the wisdom of God as God's children. Let me tell you a little bit about the wisdom of the world. Because we are going to take our time with this, because there's so much for us to understand. We have to become mature Christians. We cannot keep marking time going over the same old stuff every single day. Every single day I'm dealing with the same old thing. No. We got to move beyond that. We have to move beyond that. That's not what the life of Christ is about. Somewhere, somehow, the devil may be fooling us. So it's time for us to stop walking as fools and walk as wise children of God. So ask God to open your minds this morning to give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding. That's what Paul prayed for in Ephesians 1, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that you will know the things that God has given to you and to me in Christ Jesus. You see, we cannot figure those things out with our natural mind. So here we are sometimes trying to figure out our situation. But we can't figure it out. Because the natural mind cannot figure it out. And we become frustrated. We become depressed. We become aggravated. Listen to what the Bible says. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Reading from verse 19. Let's read from verse 18. Now I'm going to take it from verse 17. Let's go from verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, or the good news. Not with wisdom of words. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of what?
No.
Now listen carefully. So the cross of Christ made of what?
No.
Listen to me, folks. The cross of Christ means everything to us. And whenever we speak words that run contrary to what the cross of Christ has already accomplished, we are walking by the wisdom of words, the wisdom of fools, the wisdom of the world. Amen. Through the cross of Christ, my sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
Through the cross of Christ, my body is healed.
Amen.
All these things were purchased by the cross of Christ. When I keep speaking on my life what the cross of Christ has already accomplished, I am walking by the wisdom of fools. I'm not walking by the wisdom of God. The cross of Christ. Paul says, I do not want to speak the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. I ain't talking about, no, I ain't getting nothing from the cross. I could only talk about what I see and feel, but that's not true. The devil can make us see and feel a lot of things. For those who are perishing, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. How do you mean? that by his stripes I was healed. And how come I still have this? How come I? Because you believe you still have that. And because you believe everything the doctor says. Because you believe everything you hear. And because we don't make of good effect what Christ did on the cross. You see, my life is not in my feeling. My life is not in my flesh. My life is in my spirit. And that spirit of God that God gave to you when you accept Jesus Christ, that's where the reality of our life is. Nothing else. And we cannot allow the devil to bring the package of our Adam in our face and make us feel this is our reality. When he brings that package, do not sign and receive it. Send it back. You know, your body will tell you all sorts of things. A package. That's what Adam gave us. But you ain't in Adam now. You're living in Christ.
Amen.
So when the package of Adam descends on you, any given day, you say, Satan, you're a liar. I'm not signing this package. My life is in Christ.
Amen.
Wrong address.
I am not going to make the cross of Jesus of none effect. I'm not going to live by what I feel, my own wisdom, and make the cross of Jesus of none effect. This is what Paul is saying. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those people who are perishing. If we neglect the cross, we will die.
Amen.
But unto us who are saved, it is what? The power of God. If you want the power in your life, do not make little about the cross of Christ. What has the cross done for me? When Christ said it is finished, he means the price of all my sins have been paid. It means the healing for all my sickness and diseases have been met. You know, sickness to the child of God is illegal. It's illegal because Christ already paid the price. So you do not wait till you get sick to pray for healing. Every single day you claim the cross of Christ on your body so you don't get sick.
Amen.
You see, I'd rather prevention than cure. It's always better than cure, isn't that right?
Amen.
Okay. So don't make the cross of Christ of none effect. For it is written, watch this, verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Now, notice the Bible is speaking here in a kind of paradox. Those who are called wise, God really called them fools.
Yep.
You see? So I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the people of the world who think they are wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of who? The prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? In other words, the lawyers. That's who scribes were, lawyers. Where is the disputer of the world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So why do we try to order our life by the wisdom of the world so that when we come to read the word of God, we cannot believe the word of God? It is very difficult for people who have the wisdom of the world to have faith in God. Because the wisdom of the world runs contrary to faith in God. And I'll show you why. I'll show you something here. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, now God made this choice, in his wisdom, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world can never find out about God through human wisdom. This is why intellectual people do not understand God. They cannot come to an understanding of God because God made it so.
Now,
God made it so. in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So God is not using the wisdom of the world to bring people to salvation. He's using the foolishness of preaching. Mm-hmm. And many times the scholars of the world look at preachers as these guys that talk about some things that ain't real. Man, to his wisdom, can never find God. Because God knows where that wisdom is coming from. It's not coming from him. For the Jews require what? A sign. And the Greeks seek after what?
Wisdom.
Now watch this, folks. The Jews walking by sight. How many people walk by sight?
Everybody.
When I see it, then I will believe it. When God give me a sign, then I will believe. Right? So the Jews look for a sign. The Greeks look for wisdom. And this is talking about human logic. From the Greeks, listen, folks, we get what is called rationalism. The world in the West, the Western world, is influenced by what we call the Greco-Roman philosophy of life.
Amen.
Rationalism, rational thought, rational logic. That's the Western world. The Eastern part of the world, Eastern Europe, China, and those places, Asia, they operate by mysticism. They look within to find the answers. Okay? But it's a different form of reasoning, but trying to depend on what they can figure out, the inner self.
Amen.
Without any connection with God. The West, however, they operate by the outer self, the logical mean life. If I can't see it, if I can't touch it, if I can't smell it, it doesn't exist. It's not real. And our education system is based upon rationalism. Rational thought. And so people could think away God. Well, according to my logic, I feel this way, so it must be this. I feel that way, so it must be that. It's not what God says anymore. When God made man, man had a direct link to God in his spirit. So that everything God thought, man had it. Now, when you were born again, God downloaded his spirit in you again. So you could have a direct line with God. But we have grown up in a world that has taught us to rely only upon our rational thought and our emotions. Now hear this. Hear this. There is rationalism that depends on human logic. There is mysticism that depends on human intuition, transcendental meditation, and that kind of stuff. And then you have what you call romanticism. Let me explain another one. You see, romanticism was a mixture of mysticism and rationalism. I don't just depend on my thoughts now, I depend on how I feel. And what brings on the feelings. And if it feels this way, it has to be real. You see? And Christianity is being swept away by that because a lot of people have these emotional experiences, and I think, well, I'm in the spirit now because I feel it. Some years ago, the people said, if it feels good, do it. You see? So we have romanticism, we have mysticism, we have rationalism. All these isms that the devil bringing into being because man is searching for himself again, and he cannot find himself until he centers himself in God. So the world now is controlled by these frames of thought. The human wisdom is packaged in this framework. And some way, somehow, our lives in the flesh have been shaped by that framework. So much so that when the word of God comes to us, we read it in the Bible. But when the feelings come, The word of God goes through the window, and I operate by how I feel. And so instead of walking by the wisdom of God, I'm walking by the foolishness of man. And so the devil have us going through these cycles over and over and over again, like we can't seem to be gaining any victories. Because we keep walking by the wisdom of the world. The Jews, they were seeking for signs, and the Greeks want only things that were rational, things that were wisdom, things speak to wisdom, that speak to human thought, philosophy. But when you preach Christ, for the Jews, that's a stumbling block, because he didn't show us any signs. And for the Greeks, that's foolishness. How could one man die for everybody? How could somebody's blood cleanse me from sin? How could somebody's licks that he received on his back heal me? That is foolishness. So for people who operate by logic, talking the cross of Christ and talking about what the cross of Christ brings to the Christian life sounds foolish, because it does not conform to rational thought.
Amen.
But unto them which are called, both among the Jews and among the Greeks or Gentiles, Christ is what? The power of God, and Christ is also what? The wisdom of God. Could you imagine this? You have the wisdom of God in you and you're still walking like a fool? Why do we go through life with all this stress going on? What it is that I'm not getting? But God is making it plain for us today. The devil has been tripping us up, making us talk about God maybe on a Sabbath morning and make us walk like fools during the course of the week. But today is being exposed.
Amen.
Say, I'm a fool no longer.
I'm a fool no longer.
I'm a child of wisdom.
I'm a child of wisdom.
And I'll walk by my Father's wisdom.
And I'll walk by my Father's wisdom.
Yes.
Amen.
Christ is both the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
The wisdom of the world is foolish, because the devil is the one driving it. God says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are what? They are vain or foolish. The wisdom of the world has put our world in such a place right now that they don't know what to do. We get into the computer age. Through man's wisdom, right? And now, it is causing so much problems. And the truth is, we can't go back. Man can't go back. They're only trying to get more and more and more and more, trying to create more and more. The Bible says, God made man upright, but man has made for himself many inventions. And we think the inventions are progress, but no, the inventions are not progress. Now they're able to peep in your bedroom, they're able to peep and see what you're doing everywhere. And no going back. The terrorists have access to all these technologies. The people who are causing the problem in the world are not the people who we may call foolish, but the wise people. The intellectuals are causing the problems in the world. They gave us two world wars, and right now they're threatening to have another war. Who is causing the problems? The wisdom of the world. We are so wise, if God does not step in, and if God's children do not intercede on behalf of the world, mankind will destroy himself from the face of the earth. Listen, folks. If America goes now and drops some bomb in Syria, we have another world war on our hands. But they're planning America uses technology now to still be out in the ocean and can shoot missiles and take out targets in Syria. Wisdom of the world, right? Then Syria and Lebanon and the Hezbollah and Iran and all of them say they will attack Israel. So it's not just America involved now. They're going to go to Israel. Boom. And before you know it, you have a whole big war on your hands. The wisdom of the world. God says you let them be caught in your what? They are caught in their own wisdom. That's what he said. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And, but that's not where I want to go with this. I want to bring this to our personal lives so we can start living life of victory in Christ Jesus. The wisdom of the world is really foolish. The Bible says in James chapter 3, it is satanic. It's devilish. It's demonic. But people don't understand that. And what you see, a lot of the things that people are attributing to God, say, God gave man wisdom to do that. How do you know that? The devil also inspires men to do things and to create things. But it's devilish. You see, every great invention did not come from God's wisdom he gave to man. People feel that everything great, well, God gave man the ability to make these things. Is that right? You forget what Satan did. Satan is now controlling man. His seed in man. In James chapter 3, reading verse 13, the Bible says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So the devil gives people wisdom too. And the wisdom that incites people to envy, to sensuality, to earthliness, to vain fighting, to confusion. It says, look, verse 16 says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Look at this. Poison gas killed how many people there in Syria? Over 1,000 people. What are they using the wisdom for? Using wisdom for evil. Remember this? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It appears good. The wisdom appears to be good in face value, but it precipitates evil upon the nations. That's the wisdom of the world. You know, for I've gotten education from the world. I'm not speaking against education. So listen to me very carefully. When you go to the schools of the world and you get educated, you better have a good grounding on God. Because some people, they go to school believing in God. When they come out of school, they believe there's no God. Excuse me. Amen. They come back believing there's no God anymore. Because I am so bright now, I could decipher in my logical, rational mind that there is no God. I know what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. The fool says, there is no God. But he thinks he is wise. And that's why God called the wisdom of the world foolish. So when we look, when we are searching for wisdom, we do not first listen to the intellectuals of the world who are speaking to us. We have to go to the source of wisdom, who is God, our Father. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that the minds of the unconverted is dark, it's separated from the life of God, but there is no wisdom. Proverbs 26:12 says, there is more hope for a fool than for a man who is wise in his own conceit. And human wisdom makes people become conceited. I pit my wisdom against yours. That's right. And if you're not educated like I am, I know more than you. Even though God may be teaching you more than I am. And because I've been educated, I can't go wrong. I remember one of my teachers used to say, no, I'm not always right, you know, but I'm never wrong. But they cannot find God using human wisdom. Remember this. Human wisdom cannot find God. So when you meet an intellectual person and you're trying to reason God with them, you're wasting time. God hides himself from the wise of this earth.
Amen.
In Matthew 11, verse 25, Jesus speaks about that. He said God delights to do that because God is not going to give Satan any credit for finding him. Matthew 11, reading from verse 25. You see, we don't understand this. We have to understand this, folks. If I could use my human wisdom and human intelligence to find God, it's as good as saying Satan finds God. Matthew 11:25. Then I'll show you how God's wisdom operates. Matthew 11:25 says, and at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast did what? Hid these things from who?
The wise
and prudent, or the wise and intelligent, and has revealed them to who? Unto babes or little children. And we say little children means simple people. Even so, Father, for it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom ever the Son reveal him. So until you have a revelation from God, you cannot understand a thing about him.
Amen.
Can thou by searching find out God? No. Job asked the question, and the answer obviously is no. So much for human wisdom, so much for our rationalization, so much for our logical thinking. Well, if this happens, I'm going to do that. I don't have to consult God for anything because I could figure it out myself. This is what rationalism has done. And education, the handmaid of rationalism, has brought a sense of empowerment to people that make them rely upon the human reason more than on God. And so, people stress out for a lot of things. You know, men die before women most times, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Figure it out.
Huh? Why do you think men die before women? Most of the times, huh? Why do you think wives most of the time outlive husbands? Because husbands think they are the providers. And they have to do whatever it takes to make my family. And if I don't do all these things, I'm not a man. And so they tax all their human resources. So God is not responsible for my family. I am. So they tax all their human resources and they die. And their family still survive because you know who's taking care of them all along? Was God. Some of them die and their children are still babies. And the children became big. Who took care of them? But see, we believe into the lie that you have to take care of everything. So there are many men and women, some people blow their brains out. The stock market goes down and this father thinks, well, I can't manage for my family anymore. I'm out of here. The wisdom of the world has taught us we could rely on ourselves and our human logic to survive. As a matter of fact, when Adam sinned, watch this, when Adam sinned, before Adam sinned, Adam had total control of the creation. All animals, all plants, everything. Adam just had to speak because he spoke as the authority of God on earth. When Adam sinned, he lost his authority. It went to the devil. He lost that connection with God. He no longer had that authority. The creation over which Adam now ruled was now going to rule him. So he had now to use his brain. The devil made him a creature of his head to try to figure out how to survive. So we have been placed in this survival mode. And even though God has rescued us from it, Christ died to relieve us from the curse, even though God has rescued us from it, we still operate in the survival mode, as though we are taking care of ourselves and not God. We still allow ourselves to be duped by the wisdom of the world when God has given us something better. Today he's calling us to walk by his design, walk in his wisdom. To become wise, you have to become a fool. The Bible speaks in paradox. Remember Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins? Five were wise and five were foolish. Remember that parable? He said, the wise took oil with their lamps, and the foolish took no oil. Oil is a symbol of the Spirit. Oil is a symbol of the Spirit. Now, Jesus is really speaking paradoxically. Who the Bible called wise in this parable is who the world really called fools. You see, they don't trust themselves. They don't trust their knowledge, so they're taking extra oil. But the fools are saying, now we don't need oil. We could figure it out. We don't know what to do. See, I don't need any Holy Spirit. I could figure things out myself. So I don't need to take oil. That's why the Bible calls them a fool, you know. They're not foolish because they did not take oil. Don't get it wrong. Some people think they are called fools because they didn't take oil. No, no. It is because they are foolish, they chose not to take oil. You see? But the wise people in the world say, well, I don't need those things because I have my degree. So the Bible calls them a fool, but the world calls them wise. Now Jesus says the wise took oil. These are who the world will call fools. But these are the ones who are depending on God and the Holy Spirit to take them through.
Amen.
So how am I living? You see, am I a wise virgin or am I a foolish virgin? If I live by the wisdom of the world, I'm a fool. If I live by every word of God, then I'm wise. I'm leaning on God all the time. See? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but let me go to chapter 1 first. Go to chapter 1. Finish it up here. You're talking about walking by the wisdom of God. Go to chapter 1. Reading from verse 25. I read from verse 24. But to those who are called, who are the called, those who are called by God, both of the Jews and the Greeks, or Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's God's choice. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is what?
Stronger than men.
So who the world may consider weak is really strong. So don't be fooled. They may call you fooly, fooly. You see? They may call you dotish because you're doing what the word of God says, but God says you are the real strong one. You know, I like to tell husband or wife sometimes in a relationship, you want to know who's the strong one and who's the weak one. And many people think the strong one is the one who always making the noise. And the one who is always out front. But that's not the strong one. The strong one is the one who is very quiet. The one who has to put up with all the noise. The one who has to put up with a lot of things to make sure to make the relationship work. And so they may bear things quietly. They may be called foolish, but they are wise. You see, the world gives you a certain picture of what it's about. But it's not true. Because the devil is the one who is running the world and is operating under deception. But the weak is strong. And the fool for God is considered wise. The foolishness of God is what? Wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers and sisters, that there were not many wise according to the flesh. What does that mean? Are you following me? Because there were not many of you wise after the flesh. In other words, you didn't have this natural ability. You weren't naturally brilliant. You didn't go to school and get all that education. But God called you.
Amen.
He says, for you see, brothers and sisters, so don't go around thinking, well, the pastor went to school and this one went to school. It has nothing to do with that. If you start reasoning like that, you're reasoning like a fool.
Amen.
Okay? So don't talk yourself down because God did not operate by the wisdom of the world. The Bible says in verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You didn't have no big set of position. God didn't call you because you had a lot of money or because you're some big shot. Not many of those people are called. See how God's wisdom is operating. But God had chosen. In other words, God made a choice. The foolish things of the world to do what? To confound the wise. You see, God's operating in the opposite. And God had chosen what? The weak things of the world to do what? Confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised or hated had God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, the things that don't even exist, to bring to nothing the things that are. Now that's a big one, folks. God had chosen the things that are not to destroy the things that are.
Wow.
Now, there are some things that we want to destroy. Okay. Let's say I have a headache going on right now. That's the thing that is. Right? It's there. God uses the things that are not to destroy the things that are. So how would I destroy this headache? You have to live your life by your spirit. The spirit that you can't see,
amen,
but the spirit that is at work in you can destroy every work that's going on in your flesh.
Amen.
For everything we see came out of what we cannot see. That's the wisdom of God. So I have to say, I have to speak from my spirit and say, my head is fine. I haven't seen fine yet. But what I have not seen will destroy what I see.
Amen.
That's why, oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen.
Amen.
So it means you're able to see things that are not seen.
Amen.
You walk in the spirit.
Amen.
For the things that are seen are temporal or passing away, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the Bible says God uses the things that are not to destroy the things that are. We are talking about the wisdom of God. That's why you walk by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith means using the things that I cannot see to bring to nothing the things that I do see. Are we getting this? That's what God chose. Now, if God made that choice, I cannot reverse it. I cannot start from the other end of the spectrum. I cannot start with what I see. So whatever I'm experiencing, listen, folk, whatever I am experiencing in my natural body, I cannot start there. I cannot start with the things that is seen. If I start with the things that I see, I will see more of it. So the more I complain about a headache, is the more headache I have. The more I complain about the arthritis, the more arthritis I have. The more I complain about whatever situation going on in my life, the more I talk about it, is the more power I give to it for its existence to remain. You have to talk about the things that are not seen. And what are the things that are not seen? We don't think about. All the promises that God has made. So instead of focusing on the problem, we need to focus on the promise. So talk about the promise. That's what faith is, the evidence of things not seen. But the promise is already given. And all our promises are yes and amen in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20. So we have to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. And overcome the obstacles in your life by walking in wisdom of God and not in the wisdom of our flesh, in the foolishness of our flesh. So God had chosen. God made that choice that the things which are not will bring to naught. That's our old English word. When somebody say you get a naught in test,
zero.
You get a zero. So God is using something that is not to cancel something that is. So it doesn't matter what is going on in the natural. We do not speak to that. We speak to what's in the spiritual. And God did it that way so that no flesh should glory in his presence. I cannot say, well, you see how smart I was? But you see, well, I figured that thing out. You like to say that, right? You like to say, but I figured it out, you know. It's a good thing I figured this thing out. What did you figure out?
Single thing.
We want to take credit for what God has done.
Yeah.
And this is why God is not using human wisdom to bring us into our position with him.
Amen.
If we could receive this word, our life would be at peace. When the devil strikes through our flesh, we'd be able to say, Satan, I am not receiving this package. I'm not going to start with what I see and what I feel. I'm going to start with who I know and what God has said about me.
Amen.
So I reject this package. I would not sign for it. Return it to the sender. Return it to sender. You know, sometimes you even get some email, you know who it come from?
Yeah.
Delete it or return it to sender. The address is not known. Wrong house, Satan. Not here.
Wrong house.
Wrong house.
Amen.
So you get up. Listen, folks. If you get up any morning and you start feeling anyhow, put on your music and start praising God.
Amen.
Start moving in the spirit because your flesh is acting up. And that's the devil. Trying to fool you again. Stop allowing the devil to fool you. The Bible says, do not be unwise, but be wise. And understand what the will of God is. Note, I want you to see what how the text ended up. I'm so excited about this. I'm going to stop right there. And we'll pick it up next time. I want you to see how the text ended up. Watch this. in Ephesians chapter 5, right? That's where we started.
Amen.
Where shall we end up? Oh, I'm getting overexcited here. Ephesians chapter 5. Now the Bible says, we read verse 17 and 18, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Listen to what the Bible says in verse 19. So don't talk about the problems, don't talk about those things, but speak to yourselves in what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need to do whenever the devil comes with his mess.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. Start breaking out in praise.
Amen.
Not in complaint. God is using your flesh to oppress your spirit. He's starting with the thing that is seen. And he's getting us to go to that mode. But notice, the Bible says, in the wisdom of God, God shows that the things that are not seen will bring to naught the things that are seen. So if I'm going to walk in the wisdom of God, I have to know that when I'm weak, I'm strong. When the people on the job call me a fool, I know I'm wise.
Amen.
You have to know it. Don't try to defend yourself and say, "Well, me and no foolie, me and nobody fool."
God ain't make no fool.
You're walking in the wisdom of God and they don't understand. But when they speak those words against you, you break out in songs of praise. As a matter of fact, you know, in 1 Peter 4, I think verse 14, the Bible says, when you are rejected for the name of Jesus Christ,
rejoice
because the Spirit and the glory of God rest
upon
you. So just when they are ridiculing you and they're saying all kinds of stuff against you, you have to know that the Spirit and the glory of God are upon you.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to walk in wisdom. Could you give me about 5 minutes? I'll take 5 minutes. You see, we read that Christ is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. Brothers and sisters, believe it. When you receive Christ, you receive wisdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ in you and in me is the wisdom of God. Verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we are told here, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I have all these things in Christ." So I can walk in wisdom every day.
Amen.
I could walk in righteousness every day. I could walk in sanctification and redemption every single day of my life, not allowing my Adam to dictate how I walk. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not I who live. It's Christ who lives within me. Galatians 2, verse 20. So it is Christ who lives, not me. Colossians 3, verse 3 says, "For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Brothers and sisters, the devil cannot touch your real life in God. So he keeps messing with our Adam and making us believe that's what's really going on. But that's not the truth. So do not yield to the lie of the devil. Do not walk like a fool of his, but walk in the wisdom of your heavenly Father and say, "Look, Satan, get out from here. You don't belong here, because my life that is hid with Christ in God, you can't touch."
Amen.
So don't come here with this mess.
Amen.
Don't try to fool me with that. Get out from here. And you'll see how quick you start to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So you just run the devil. Run the devil, man. Run him. Final scripture. Colossians chapter 2. Walking in the wisdom of God. Colossians chapter 2, reading verse 3. The Bible says, in whom, in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of what?
Wisdom and knowledge.
So if I want wisdom and knowledge, where do I go for it? No, man. I got to go to... What university down the road?
UFT.
UFT. Well, I have to go to the other one where Sister Lita works there.
York.
That's where I get wisdom from. No, I don't get wisdom from there. No. They may give you some tools to operate in the world, but it doesn't give you wisdom. In Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ. Just now we read, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So you got wisdom and knowledge in you. But the devil doesn't want us to operate by the Christ in us. He wants us to operate by the Adam of us. He wants us to operate from our logic instead of from God's spirit within us. So in Christ is hidden all what?
Treasures.
All the treasures of
wisdom and
knowledge. Jump to verse 6. So in Christ have all what? Wisdom and
knowledge.
Now look at verse 6. As you have received who?
Christ Jesus.
Okay, let's change it. Since Christ have all wisdom and knowledge, I want you to substitute Christ there for wisdom and knowledge. As you have received what?
Wisdom and knowledge.
So walk ye in
wisdom
in wisdom and knowledge.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
Since Christ is the source of all wisdom and knowledge, the Bible tells us in Colossians 2 verse 6, as you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, or wisdom and knowledge, so walk ye in it. Walk in the Christ in you, not the Adam of you. Don't let the Adam of you determine how your day goes. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Now, if you choose not to listen to this, you will experience the same things you have been experiencing all along. Do not allow Adam to determine your day. Let Christ in you determine your day. As you therefore have received wisdom and knowledge, who is Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 9. For in him,
in wisdom and knowledge,
dwelleth what?
All
the fullness of God, of the Godhead bodily. Whoa. And you are complete in wisdom and knowledge. Say, I'm complete.
I am complete.
I am complete. In wisdom and knowledge.
In wisdom and knowledge.
I have the wisdom of God.
I have the wisdom of God.
I have knowledge from God.
I have knowledge from God.
Because I have the mind of Christ. Don't ever forget it. Every day remind yourself of it.
Amen.
Every day remind yourself of it. Every day. Do not judge yourself by the Adam of your flesh. But judge yourself by the new life of God inside of you. Inside of me, that contains all the wisdom and the knowledge and the fullness of God. Let us walk by the wisdom of God. Let us walk by the wisdom of God. Know who we are in Christ. And let us walk by the wisdom of God and not the foolishness of man. May God bless us. May this word continue to ring in our ears every waking day, every waking hour of the day, that we would walk as God's children here on earth and help rescue others who are in bondage under the yoke of the wicked one.
Amen.
Amen.